In this episode of Movie Wars, we're going to review the movie The Way, Way Back. It's time for Movie Wars. Hi, this is Joe.
Hi, it's Rashmi.
Yazdi as well.
Movie Wallace is your weekly dose of film reviews, movie news and general banter in theatres, on DVD, online streaming or in the back of an airplane. If you love the movies, this show is for you. Good evening all again.
Good evening.
Hello.
So, Yazdi.
Yes?
You recently saw a movie that we saw at South by Southwest, Much Ado About Nothing.
I did.
And I'm not sure we're going to give this movie the full podcast treatment, but it's one that Rashmi and I saw at South by Southwest. And Rashmi, remind me what you thought of it.
I'm looking for my review. I actually liked it. I thought it was a nice modern rendition of, you know, Shakespeare, and I felt like it made Shakespeare accessible to a new generation. I love Shakespeare, so, and I love this story. And I liked that it was in black and white, and it was quite stylish.
Yes.
As I rushed to find my original review.
Sorry.
Obviously not memorable, though. Obviously not memorable.
I did put you on the spot. Yeah, I found the movie to be a little bit of a snoozer. I really...
Yeah, I liked it more than you, I think.
Yeah, in fact, you know, I'll have to acknowledge we were a little bit tired. Having been up late the night before at South by Southwest, and this movie did incur a 5 or 10 minute nap for me, which I hate to admit. But, you know, it was well done. It was done with a sense of fun. I thought it was beautifully shot in the Whedon household.
Which I'd love to live in.
And my main issue is, like with all Shakespeare movies, I didn't study hard enough at school. So the whole Shakespearean dialogue is something that I find really hard to tune into. It takes me a good, you know, 15, 20 minutes before I actually understand what the hell anyone's talking about. And then finally I'm into the rhythm of the dialogue and so on and so forth. So, you know, for me, it wasn't a must-see. What did you think of it, Yazdi?
I'm really troubled by it. There's so much that I like about it. I mean, I like that, you know, Joss Whedon, you know, he's the ultra comic book nerd, decides in his free time between two movies or between whatever post-production and completion of primary filming on the Avengers, decides to do Shakespeare.
To relax,
you know, I love that. And it's certainly a gutsy choice on his part to have it be contemporary, to have all the actors be dressed very contemporary,
yes,
live in contemporary times, and
I like
then speak. And then speak. There's not a word of abridged dialogue here. All
right.
The dialogue is very, very Shakespearean. So it almost seems very anachronistic initially, and then you're right, it takes a while for you to get settled in. But I think there's a reason why people in 2013 are still reading Shakespeare, and people are still reading Jane Austen, and people are still reading Emily Bronte. I mean, people are reading this because these are works of singular vision. And, you know, this movie ultimately, just the sparring, you know, between the two lead characters, you know, it's so witty and it's so beautiful. That just comes through beautifully. I like the black and white part of it, although it seemed just to no purpose other than just to be a stylistic choice. It looked beautiful. It looked great. I just wanted more and, you know, I think part of it is because I'm so influenced by the Kenneth Branagh version of the movie.
Which I liked very much.
Which I absolutely love. And, you know, the Kenneth Branagh and Emma Thompson character, the sparring between them was such a delight. And the 1 year does not quite reach that heft. And that movie was so colorful and so exciting and so tongue-in-cheek and so sexy. And this movie has a little bit of all of that, but not quite. So it felt a little bit of a disappointment. Ultimately, to me, it came off looking as something that somebody did in between two other projects. I'm glad that we are watching it. I'm glad that people are enjoying it, but it's not a 7 or an 8 or a 9 for me. It's more like a 6.
Yeah, yeah. I felt it was somewhat, you know, meh. And I saw an interview with Whedon where, you know, his wife basically said, she recommended that he do this movie in between projects. Well, it was actually not in between projects. It was between the end of shooting at the Avengers and the beginning of editing. So he had a couple of weeks, and she said, you're going to be so stressed out during that whole time. Why don't you do what you love doing best, which is making movies?
Plus, why don't you show off the house I designed?
There was, I'm sure there was that angle too, and it's quite a house.
Yeah. I mean, for me, I think it was very frothy and joyful and light. It didn't have a lot of emotional depth. It was more gimmicky than memorable, and I think that's why it took me a few minutes to kind of remember my thoughts. But I actually loved it in the moment, and I was very taken by it. But I love Shakespeare, and I love stories like this. And I think at its core, it's a romance. So that's what I loved about it. And the cast was joyful. And I think the only criticism I wrote, and I was just looking at my review, was I think some of the sections with the comedy, the police, the police station, they came a lot of, they came off a little bit, a bit SNL is how I would describe it. But overall, I liked it. I think if I had to score it, I'd probably be a bit more generous than you, Yazdi. I'd probably go with about a 7.
I think the other place where it suffered for me, and maybe it won't for others, is that by making a choice to set this within the contemporary time, but still being very, very, you know, having 100% fidelity to the original script, some of the reactions to certain events seem very antiquated to me.
Yes.
Like the whole end part of it where, you know, your honor is ruined and no, you know, you shall die because you're dishonored. It's not relevant in the current century. So it kind of felt a little bit of like an artifice at that point, but, you know, all's forgiven.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, sorry to spring that on you guys. I just thought it was great to get Yazdi's point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, you know, props to Whedon for doing something this small that I think is going to be this well received. Because I think the movie has generally been well received by people. And
it's a cute pet project.
Yeah. And I mean,
which is going to make him money.
What a talented director. I mean, he pulled this from nowhere. I mean, he was literally walking around the Avengers set with a copy of the Shakespeare play stuffed into his jacket pocket.
12 days. They made it in 12 days.
And, you know, to be honest, this is not the kind of dialogue that somebody can go away, you know, in the back of a room and just memorize and come out and play it out. This, you know, this is hard dialogue, and these are long takes. And these actors, you know, bless their hearts, you know, they make those dialogues sing. Yeah. I mean, those dialogues don't sound like somebody's, you know, somebody's just reciting them from a book. You know, they get the right intonations, at least to me they did. So I know...
Iambic pentameter.
Yes, and... there's been some work, you know, there's been a fair degree of hard work which has gone into this.
I thought the cast did great. I think they were all beautiful, if you know what I mean. They all inhabited those characters really, really warmly. I believed in every single one of them. So good stuff. Anyway, that was kind of a little bonus review. So let's move on to our main event, which is The Way, Way Back. Rashmi, can you tell us about The Way, Way Back?
I can. The Way, Way Back is about 14-year-old Duncan, who is having a summer vacation with his mother, her overbearing boyfriend, and his daughter. Having a rough time fitting in, Duncan finds an unexpected friend in Owen, manager of the Water Whiz Water Park. This is directed by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, and written by both of them as well, and stars Steve Carell, Tony Collette, Alison Janney, Anna Sophia Robb, Sam Rockwell, Maya Rudolph, Rob Corddry and Amanda Peet, and the adorable Liam James as Duncan. So who wants to go first with this one? Joe is pointing to Yazdi.
Okay, I shall go first.
I think he is passing.
So I think every film speaks a language. Every single one of them does. And occasionally a film speaks the same language as your inner mind. This film spoke my language. Of course, there are many who are going to call this movie contrived, and of course you can see what's going to play out right from the very first scene of the film. And of course some of the characters speak script-perfect dialogue that nobody in real life will ever utter. But did any of this matter one bit? Nope. This film defeated my reviewer being and pulled me right into it. What a wondrous little movie this is. I have only love for it.
I knew it. Joe.
Well, it's not going to be one of those shows, fortunately. This is a movie that I liked very much indeed. I think it just had that wonderful coming-of-age type dynamic. You know, you had this boy with problems, and it spoke a lot about, you know, growing up in ways that I could also relate. I related very, very strongly to this kid's particular scenario on many personal levels. The movie fell down for me in one major aspect, which was the Duncan character, actor. I just, I thought he was weak. I thought he was surrounded by terrific talent. I know. I
blasphemy.
I know.
Sacrilege.
I just
Storm Joe.
I didn't believe the stuff that he was going through, and everything else and everyone around him. Sam Rockwell in particular was brilliant here. Steve Carell in a way that I haven't seen before. But overall, this movie had just a little chink in its armor, which was just that one.
So Joe's wrong, and I agree with Yassi. So this is a sweet, huggable, unexpected, and quietly heartbreaking at times alternative coming-of-age movie that had me from the first scene. I really liked this movie and thought that it brought something more to the table that we haven't seen before in these types of movies. And I think this has a lot to do with the exceptional casting and a great story. And I disagree with you completely, Joe. I would actually say the Duncan character was wonderful. And much as I love Sam Rockwell, was a little bit overcooked.
Yeah, I mean, I think there is a part of this movie which is very contrived. There is a part of this movie which, unfortunately, some people are going to call sitcom-y. I mean, worried that every sitcom was so good. I mean, I understand that there are certain points where the gears in the plot click very visibly. You can watch what's happening behind the scenes of the movie. But I was so invested with these characters, and I was having such a good time. I was so within the movie instead of being outside of it that it almost didn't matter. I mean, I people are going to, pull this movie down by calling it unoriginal, and they'll be right. But I don't care if a movie is unoriginal. I think when a film has enough heart, it will prevail in spite of cliche, and this movie does.
Yeah, no, they're all really good points. I mean, you're right. This movie has almost no surprises in terms of how the plot plays out. I saw everything. I saw the Steve Carell character. I saw the mother character. I saw Duncan's life and how it was going to be and the relationships that he was going to have. All from the very first moment that they arrive at this beach house. So none of it held any surprises for me personally. But that's not to say it wasn't enjoyable. I think it was a very heartwarming story, written by the same guys that wrote The Descendants, which, I think, again, you can see many of the themes within that movie. Right, thank you. That's a great word. That same sensibility play out in front of you. The Descendants had this very dark twist in the movie that I didn't see coming, that woke me up and said, this is something new. This movie didn't have that for me.
Yeah, I agree with you. It was formulaic at times, but I think that it did bring some twists and turns to the table. And certainly I was actually surprised by two things which I thought were really good. The other thing that really got me was the coming of age arc was smart. It was funny and it was heartfelt. And I think that where you thought the guy didn't, Liam James, who plays Duncan, didn't do a good job. For me, I love that he was so understated. It wasn't kind of an in-your-face, 80s type of coming-of-age movie. It felt very understated, and it had this slow burn. And I wasn't sure it was going to go. But I love that this is a really different Steve Carell from one that we haven't seen before, and I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about the performances. But before we do, I mean, I, like you, Joe, I mean, I completely identified with this main character. I mean, I was him in some ways during my childhood, awkward, not fitting in, socially inept. And so I believed in this character's journey. And I think the acting and the script never once took me out. And I think it's kind of a slippery slope when the central, maybe this is a giveaway or maybe it's a spoiler, but I'll say it anyways. When the central defining relationship in the movie is between this 14-year-old boy and a wild man who takes him under his wing.
Yeah.
And, I think any movie which can do this without coming off, overwrought or precious, I think is doing something right. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to... I mean, Mud kind of did that a little bit. But this movie is so much more well-rounded and more wholesome and more fun and more perceptive, I think, than Mud was.
Yeah, but I think, Yazdi, and that's my only criticism, was that I think much as I like that relationship that was created, and I agree that was what kind of helped his journey, I think the Sam Rockwell character was just a little bit overcooked. And I love Sam Rockwell.
Yeah.
But I think that it was a little bit too caricature as opposed to something
Oh, absolutely.
Held back. Like, I wish he had held back just a little bit, and I think it would have been perfect.
I mean, he doesn't have a character. It's a plot device. It's as simple as that. It's completely a plot device to help him. But again, did it bother me? It did not. Because again, Sam Rockwell is so great an actor.
Yeah.
And, you know, his dialogue in the entire movie, nobody speaks like that in the real world.
Right.
Nobody ever speaks like that. But I was hanging on to every word he was saying because it was so funny.
Yeah.
But I think that's where the accusations of preciousness come from in this movie, because you're right. It was too... It was incongruous with the rest of the way that the movie felt, you know? Everyone else spoke with a certain reality. The Steve Carell character in particular, I thought, was so... such an interesting casting choice, but also such a flawed individual in so many ways. And so to see that plot device, as you say, inserted because the boy needs something positive in his life... You know,
but it was a kind of negative positive, if that makes sense. You know, I think that it was smart. To me, it was a smart. It
was everything that the boy wasn't, right? You know, he was conscientious, he was fun, but you know, I think in some ways his role was to kind of show the kid, you know, you can have more fun with life. Life doesn't have to be terrible, even when. You haven't got much going on.
Yeah, but I mean, not to sound corny, but he was the one person who was there for this little kid, but nobody else is.
Yeah.
And this kind of stuff can come off very labored. And I think there are all those scenes set, you know, where he's employed in the amusement park, where him and the other members of Maya Rudolph and the other characters, incidentally, those were the directors of the movie, which are the other two employees in the...
Oh, really?
Yeah. So Nat Fixon and Jim Rash, they were...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they were the directors. I believed him. I mean, it was funny. It was hilarious. There's this whole thing where, you know, he has this semi-romance between, you know, the neighbor's daughter, and, you know, she comes to see him, and, you know, he calls out on a loudspeaker, and it shouldn't have worked, but it worked. I can see that it's a cliche. It shouldn't work, but I was smiling along.
Yeah.
And how about Allison Janney, who walks away?
Oh, my God.
She walks away with every single scene in the movie.
Yeah. This, you know, I actually wrote down... I'm not, you know, I loved her character. She had a lot to work with. I wouldn't be surprised if as the year goes on, that we don't see maybe even a consideration of an Oscar nod for Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, I agree with you there. That I think in part it's because it's so unexpected from her. She was the press spokesperson in The West Wing. So we know her as this very formal.
Yeah.
Here she has a very strong character, but in a very different sense.
Yeah.
So brilliant.
Or even Toni Collette, who for me kind of recalled, you know, her excellent turn as in The Sixth Sense as a mother who's trying her best to adjust with a son who is troubled, and never once making the audience feel like she has anything but unconditional love for him. I mean, she does a lot of wrong things, but it's never done out of selfishness, or never because she does not love him. That's again a very fine line to walk, and you know, she was not perfect.
She's brilliant. I always, always connect with her on screen. I always
in almost everything. Yeah,
I always feel her dilemmas, the things that I already. I know what she's thinking just by looking at her, which is, I think, very difficult to do.
Yeah. And Amanda Peet was great in this.
I wish
there was more of
her. I wish there was more of Rob Corddry and Amanda Peet. They were so great. I wanted more of them. Yeah.
Great characters.
Amanda Peet is one of the great underrated
female
comedians, and she doesn't get enough material. But yeah, she was good in it.
Very good.
And again, you know, how brave of Steve Carell to take on this role. You know,
brave or wise, I think he's doing the McConaughey thing where he's taking on characters that scare him a little bit. This is very different from the Steve Carell that we see.
Yeah, very different.
And he comes across initially as the same way, but there's so much more to this character that comes out. But
I can see his agents trying to totally talk him out of doing this role, saying, this is not your audience. Nobody wants to see you like this.
I
think he was great.
This is the best I've seen him in.
I didn't even recognize, because the first scene is basically his eyes. And I kept thinking as the voice, because you just hear the voice. I was thinking, who is this? I was like, oh my God, that's Steve Carell. And then obviously it cuts to Steve Carell.
So, yeah, I applaud him for taking on roles like this.
I do too. I think this is actually his niche.
Yeah.
More than the other stuff. So... Okay, ready to score this one? Yes, Lee, why don't you go first?
Gosh, so you know, I think The Way Way Back is a love letter to all of the misfits of the world. And as the emperor of the misfits of the world, I reciprocated that. I have, like I said at the start, I have nothing but love for this movie. I think if you cannot be passionate about films, then you should not bother reviewing them. And you should be willing to let your heart rule over your mind. So my mind says 8 out of 10, my heart says 9, and my heart always prevails. So I'm going to give it the rare 9 out of 10. I mean, I was sad when this movie ended. I was really sad. I wanted this movie to go on for another hour. It hasn't happened to me in a long time. I'm kind of emotional even as I'm speaking right now. Wow. It really affected me.
So everyone knows what to buy Yazdi for Christmas.
Yes. The Blu-ray edition of The Way, Way Back.
You'll get two copies from our two listeners. Joe.
So I can't say that I was unaffected by this movie. I think I did absolutely relate to it on many levels. I enjoyed every moment of it too. You know, I think my main criticism is that it played out a little too obviously for me. That's not a problem when it's done well. So I'm going to give this an 8 out of 10. Wholehearted recommendation. I mean, if you like movies at all, go see this. If you don't like movies, go see this. It's just a really well done movie in every which way that counts.
Absolutely a Yazdi movie, and everything you said Yazdi about this movie.
I think this is totally a Yazdi movie.
This is a Yazdi movie. But I really enjoyed this as well. I think this is a really sweet story that I think everyone will find some connection with in some way. I think an 8 out of 10 from me as well.
I mean, you know, there's so much crap playing in the cinemas right now. And then, you know, when somebody brings this talented group of great actors, and even if the script is a little bit cliched, does something which means something, makes you feel something, I think their job is done.
Yeah.
I can't believe it's a limited release. You know, like, why isn't this going to go into every multiplex? Because the themes are very mainstream, and I think the movie is very accessible as well. It's not a difficult movie to tap into. And, you know, I would tell my dad to watch this. I'd tell my mom to watch this, you know, whereas some of the smaller, more arty movies I may not recommend, but this is just good, solid writing and filmmaking. And I know they would both enjoy it too. So why on earth does stuff like this get a limited release?
I hope it doesn't get limited release.
I think it might be a slow boil.
I hope it's a slow boil. I mean,
word of mouth will be very strong on this.
Yeah.
Like, Before Midnight is now playing in all the multiplexes. It's broken out of the art house and now it's playing everywhere, which, thank God, there's a God, you know, it's working out. I hope the same thing happens with this movie as well.
I mean, I think, you know, when I look at... we just watched a recent coming-of-age movie, Kings of Summer, right, which we reviewed recently. When I think of something like that compared to this, this one was just so much more restrained and subtle and more believable, I think, in some ways.
So I think it was less restrained and more obvious, but, you know, just better done.
Yeah, I mean, it's better done.
It felt more realistic.
Yes, more heart and a greater amplitude of emotions. You know, this kind of arc that the boy throws, the comedic moments, the sad moments. They're all here and they're all very effective. Yeah. They're not partially effective.
I felt my heart breaking.
Kings of Summer had
times.
no real highs for me.
Yeah, I agree.
That Liam James is a great actor.
I think he's a great actor, Joe. Yeah.
I mean, that last scene should not have worked at all.
Agreed.
It had no reason working. By the way, just like The Descendants had possibly the most note-perfect very last scene of the movie, where the whole family just wordlessly sits down in front of the television to watch a documentary, and they're all sitting and eating popcorn. I think the very last scene in this movie is just note-perfect. But even the final ending of the movie, I think it wouldn't have worked without that honesty, I think, that central character brought. I mean, it's so cliched, but it works.
I just found him to be a little flat, a little too unaffected
really?
By the things around him.
Oh, I don't
and I'm
know.
And I'm not expecting, you know, tears of sadness or yelps of joy, but I just felt that he seemed a little disconnected from all the stuff that was happening around him. And maybe that's because, you know, the character was meant to be processing all of this stuff. But, you know, there is a moment when he gets very angry at a particular character for something that the character has done. Didn't buy it. Didn't
really?
Buy that kid could explode in that way. Because
at the barbecue.
Yes, because...
Oh, see, oh, I completely totally disagree with you, because I think this is an awkward 14, 15, 16-year-old who doesn't know how to handle his emotions, and the only way he can express himself is either on or off.
And that's where I think we disagree on this, because I think had he shown a little more emotion up until that point, I would have believed that moment a bit more. People like him, I think, tend to swallow their emotions.
Right, and that's why he exploded.
But then the explosion manifests itself differently. Anyway, it's just for me, I didn't buy this kid.
We'll an extended podcast called the psychoanalysis
with spoilers.
Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, he's just so, not intentionally, but he's so belittled and made to feel so small and less than everybody else. And nobody, well, with the exception of one character, nobody really means to be that way, but that's just the nature of the world he is in. And I completely bought his hurt and his pain and how he was kind of swallowing it all.
He may have a tantrum, but he would never get physical. Not a kid like this.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. The only other thing I wanted to say is this movie also reminded me of many, many ways of a movie from last year, or maybe the year before, called Adventureland with Kristen Stewart. Do you remember that movie?
Jesse Eisenberg
and Ryan Reynolds.
Yeah.
And in that case, Kristen Stewart is the disaffected girl who goes to work at an amusement park where she actually turns out she has an affair.
No, I do remember it, yes.
I think that one was a bit grittier.
But this one just...
this was light, much lighter than that one.
Yes, gosh, I forgot that movie. Yeah, I enjoyed that one, I think.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one too.
Did we review that one?
Yes. Go watch The Way, Way Back.
Yeah. What's the title? The Way, Way Back? As in The Way Back? Way Back? Or The Way Back to Somewhere?
No, I think it's like Really Back.
Like Back in Time?
Back in Time.
Not The Way Back to Where You Want to Get to?
Maybe.
What do you think, Joe?
Isn't it to do with the fact that it's the journey to and from the summer house?
I like that.
Yeah, I think... Yeah, I think it's just a very very nostalgic movie.
Yeah,
I think these writers probably lived through some version of this when they were kids, and you know, they're thinking of it as, you know, way back when things used to be a particular way. I don't know. It's a good title. I like it.
Yeah, I like it. It's interesting.
Let us know what you think. Mail at movierollers.com, twitter.com/movierollers, and facebook.com/movierollers as well. We'd love to hear what you think of this and other movies that we review. Until our next Yazdi movie.
Yes.
Too many movies, too little time. A good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.